Hey everybody, how y'all doing? This is another Good Brothers Community Podcast, Sunday edition right here at Churchill Smoke Shop on the Hill. And again, as always, I got my right-hand man, my partner in crime, Mr. P. Powell to the third power, Mr. Preston Powell the third. My guy, how you doing?
Man, it's good. Another weekend on the Hill. This is All-Star Weekend. First weekend in the XFL. Decided we'll chop it up a little bit. Today's smoke.
Oh, yeah.
It's Insidious by Solid.
LFD, Double Aguero.
You smoking good today. We're yelling for a touchdown here.
Yeah, so,
you know, speaking of the XFL, I know one thing you want to talk about, you know, the XFL first weekend. So what do you think of the quality of the football so far?
I got some talent, man. They got some talent. The talent is there. They got good coaches. I'm seeing a lot of former NFL players who are coaching, and there might be another outlet for guys who played in the league who want to coach or think about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting the profession and getting the profession the right way.
Right.
So yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, it is. It's quite football. And then, you know, we talked earlier, you just mentioned a minute ago about their solid deal with the NFL, which put the whole league on good standing as far as we can be expected to have some level of longevity. One thing we had talked about is that, you know, these guys are actually going to make a little money. I mean, they're paid.
Right, exactly.
If you don't know, just to let you know, they get $5,000 per game. Winning team get an extra $1,000, so you got a potential $6,000 a game. You make the playoffs, it's $10,000 per game. Win the playoff game, it's another $10,000. So you got a chance to make some money, you know, over this time. And then the key thing with that partnership is that at the end of the XFL season, all players are released to be able to try out and try to get on the NFL roster. I think that's
right.
You know, like I told you, we saw earlier, I didn't realize how much practice players made.
I'm almost 250.
Yeah, it's 250. I'm like, whoa, shit, you get on practice squad, you're good.
Right.
Yeah, so you get a good shot at this, and they want this to be a legit feeder system to the NFL, and I think they got something cooking with this.
I agree. I think it's a great opportunity, especially for those who still aspire, who still feel they got the will, the want-to, and the determination to play the game. And also, outside of XFL, they bring in the arena football back.
Right.
So, again, different outlets to, you know, for those who had that dream to get to the big dance.
And the quality of football so far has been pretty good. Just looking at it now, the quality of football has been pretty good. I mean, you know, pass the Lynch, former first-round pick didn't show up, but hey, it's pretty good out there. I mean, they're not anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And as anything, you'll see a lot of these guys make the lead. Remember, what's the guy, the kick returner for Dallas? He had a couple of good returns this year, so he played pretty well. So, yeah, you're gonna find some players, and you can see some of these guys are pretty good. You're gonna find some players in this league. And like I said, we expect to see them stick around. We got the late night game coming on later tonight, so hopefully we get to see a little bit more of that. Now, you mentioned the Arena Football League is coming back.
Right.
Is it coming back full throttle, or is it gonna scale it back some?
From what I'm understanding, probably is going to deal with some of the teams in the major markets first. I think like Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, Birmingham, New Orleans, and Memphis, and places like that, and get back to, you know, then get full scale up when everything get back to the tip. So, arena football is coming back.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one in my home, New Orleans. They're supposed to have a team, if I'm not mistaken.
So because the whole team was the New Orleans Voodoo.
Yeah, the Voodoo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like their gear too. That Voodoo gear was hot.
I had a jersey.
Right. Look, the other thing, you know, we want to touch on the main subject today. You were talking about the city of Jackson here now compared to the city of Jackson in the past.
Right.
Elaborate what you want to hit on that.
Well, you know, a lot of the kids unfortunately want to experience Jackson the way I experienced it. Uh-huh. When the Metro Center was wide open, we had putt-putt golf. You know, we had some of the major restaurant chains. Man, youth sports was mad in Jackson. You know, like from Level Woods to Forest Hill. Man, shout out to Grove Park. I played baseball there. And shout out to the West Capitol Street Boys Club.
Right.
That's where I got my start. Bam, Charles Tolliver, Charles Nunn, Milton, Sesha, all y'all. Thank you. Y'all made me.
I actually did a few speaking engagements at that Jackson, that Boys and Girls Club. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
As I come up there. And it's done a great job. In fact, I used to do lots of people at Grove Park as well. So I'm very familiar with those areas.
Right.
I've done mentorships and things like that. For so that was a pretty good. You know, I know from my time when I first came here in college to what, you know, being in Jackson down, you see a stark difference. I know we talked about last week on last week episode the CCID, how the state is taking over, carved out a piece, whether that's constitutional or not, which I firmly believe that's unconstitutional, and I think it can easily be challenged in court. But what I found surprising is that they haven't challenged it. So I'm just like, you can challenge this in court, you should be able to, you know, give, you know, you make some headway on fighting against that, but. You know, at this point, I don't know what the stance the city was taking other than to get on TV and talk against it.
But I'm understanding there it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a long fight.
I mean, this is, you're making a legal fight. You're not going to fight them in the media. Just make
it
right.
But that's
fight.
What I'm saying. It's going to be a long legal fight, and the feds are supposed to be involved, from what I'm understanding.
Okay, well, yeah, that'll be good. Good to get that taken care of, because that is beyond unconstitutional.
That's a slap in the face. Yeah, no travesty. It's a slap in the face.
Right. So
it goes back. It reminds me of we had people like Waller and Ross Barnett.
Right. Yeah.
Who people don't know was a racist, by the way. That's when they reservoir was named for him. Right, gotta know that.
Right. The Stark racist from whatever.
Oh yeah.
Didn't he was the one that came in during the Meg Evers trial and like shook the dude's hand.
That's something like
that. Yeah. Beckwith hand during the trial to try to get the jury to wink.
Brondella Beckwith.
Yeah, so yeah, that's crazy. But you know, speaking of which, you know, I had a thought, you know, what do you think about CCTV? We were talking about Errol Kamara up here a little while ago that, you know, how all that got caught on camera, that fight. And that brought up a conversation. Somebody mentioned, man, they should get cameras here at Jackson. What's your take on that?
Well, you talk about privacy issues now, but at this point, something got to shake, you know.
You talk about crazy. On public streets and public areas, you know, peering at the streets, not like in the home.
I understand. Like that's why I said, at this day and time in our city, you know, it's like Gotham City without Batman. You know what I'm saying? The back signal in Jackson don't even work.
right.
You know? So we need to do something. And I mean, it's drastic. And drastic time sometimes calls for drastic measures. So we got to do something. I'm down with it.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know, the thing about it is that you got to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Right is right, and wrong is wrong.
Well, man, as we talked about with the CCID, you know, Capitol Police taking over a certain segment of the city of Jackson, and everybody knows the Capitol Police have a low tolerance level for BS. So, I had a police chief in here this morning. He said one thing about the Capitol Police, you know, they have a zero tolerance for BS. They won't, you know, if they see it, they're going to deal with it right there on the spot. And Johnny come quickly. So it's something interesting to see. I'm just interested to see the politics of it all, because I don't think Jackson has a hard fix. You know, you got some areas around the country that have their issues. That the fixes are very nuanced, and it's a lot going on. But Jackson's not that. Jackson's not a hard. It's not going to be a big deal to fix for Jackson. I mean, it's not a yeoman's job.
Right.
Not a big road to hoe. It's just a matter of people sitting down and doing what needs to be done, taking care of what needs to be taken care of. Because there's no reason to have some of the issues that we have, guys. None whatsoever.
Yeah, but again, you look at the state legislature. Funding, when it comes to the city of Jackson, almost every bill has been rejected by the state legislature. So how do we supposed to thrive when you sit here to move out of Jackson into the tax base with you, and you leave Jackson without a tax base? So now we got to find a way to recreate that tax base with people we have here.
Yeah.
And that comes with financial literacy.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, but I'll tell you something else. One thing I do believe is that if you know the legislature is not going to help you like you need to be helped.
Right.
The moment Biden took swearing in the office, you had a Democratic Senate, a Democratic Congress. It is no way you shouldn't have infrastructure bill, crime assistance bill. That should have been on his desk.
Right.
Get the assistance from the feds. Jackson don't have to go through the state. Jackson get money straight from the feds. Now, it's easier than me saying that like that, but because there's a lot of work to be involved in that.
Right.
But that work should have been done already.
Right.
Those things should be put in place already. That's just me being in politics for over 25 years. Those things, I understand that, you know, and I can see some things that I know, like, oh, you should have been doing this a while ago. You know, I don't hear about it, and I'm sure if I don't hear about it, not saying that I'm the end all to be all, but I should catch wind of when you're making certain strides for natural for certain kinds of assistance. You know, it's not impossible to get. That's what I think one of the failings that I see is that, you know, we can talk about assistance. It's going out there and getting it done. You got to get people who are going to get on that grind and get it done. And that's what I see that happens.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's also prime time to recreate Fair Street. What I mean by recreate Fair Street, reinvest communities, small businesses, small business development, economic redevelopment in our communities. And again, show them, hey, we can be resilient, we can be resourceful, you know, and make it a situation where the state will want to help Jackson because why? It's going to be saving face. But
well, I'll tell you, it is what it is. The biggest thing we need to do is get deliberate with our dollars. Know where you spend your money. That's the biggest thing. I mean, a lot of people, they don't pay attention where they spend their money. That's one thing I'm big on. I know where I spend my money.
Me too.
You know, when I go somewhere, I shop deliberately. If I can't get it from where I need to get it from, I just don't need it. You know, it's just no. You got to be deliberate with your dollars. You know, you can't spend money with people who don't support you. And I constantly see people complain about an issue, but constantly spending money where it's not going to help your issue. And that I just find that that don't make any sense to me. It never will make any sense to me.
Oh yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, you do that. Queen of the Hill back in place this Sunday.
Queen of the Hill, there she go.
Not gonna make my cameo in and out.
But yeah, that you know, there's a lot of things going on that, you know, we know better. We know that.
Right.
That, you know, they're not hard fixes. I did see an interesting poll the other day that even in the governor's race, everything's shrunk and tight for Democrats.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. What's that one?
Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting to see this next political season. I just implore people, you know, that old saying, you get what you pay for.
Right.
Let's start asking for what we pay for.
Exactly.
Let's just start asking for what we pay for. And that way, you know, we can actually see the change we all talk about we want to see.
Y'all don't know it. Y'all need to see it for herself. The Queen of the Hill, she fine. She fine as hell.
Shouldn't I'm getting, that.
I know, hey.
Yeah. She better max out on it.
She fine, y'all.
Now I'm about to run out.
Hey, go out the door and let that sunlight hit you.
Ooh.
You know that light good right here.
Yeah, yeah. That's
that creek light. You get to see all the creek and shit.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's funny. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm interested to see this fight because I want to see where everybody stands. You know, we talk about a lot of things. I want to see some, you know, instead of the platitudes and all the internet words and the internet speeches you see on Facebook, let's see some rubber to the road. Because at some point, Jackson is one of the most black cities in the country. At some point, we're going to have to see people who put, you know, their words to their actions. Now, well, no, I shouldn't say it like that because a lot of people, they do work toward their actions. but I mean some accomplishments.
Yeah, that comes with consistency.
I've been saying this since I've been in this city. I do not understand how the city of Jackson and Jackson State University are not married at the hip.
I don't either.
I don't understand.
I don't either. That's a great point, Preston. I don't understand it. You made an even greater point. Why are the roads so bad to lead to the urban university?
Here's the deal. You got the USC Medical Center, and you got Jackson University, two largest institutions in the city. You should be married to both of them. You have the medical corridor, should be coordinated with the city of Jackson.
Right.
Jackson State University is coordinated with the city of Jackson. These are right. These are your foundation, your anchors.
Right.
Support them. There shouldn't be a bad road going to either one of them.
I agree.
So it's just these are things like that affect the quality of life, which would improve the quality of life of the city immensely. Those partnerships.
Right.
You're talking about, one thing that's unique about this area, in this, what you're talking about, the tri-county area, Jackson, Rankin, Madison, Hines, Rankin, and Madison, who are you looking at? Maybe like 350,000 people,
mm-hmm.
somewhere around there?
Mm-hmm.
UMC, Jackson State, Bellhaven, Millsaps, Tougaloo, Holmes, Mississippi College,
Hines,
Rankin, mm-hmm. and Raymond.
Right. And Jackson.
Jackson. That's like 10 universities.
Mm-hmm.
10 upper level learning, in this smaller area. So right. That tells you that. So in the fall, you're talking about an influx of a whole bunch of people into the city.
Right.
I mean, it's not rocket science. It's doable.
Right.
It's very doable. Security, right. That is. Right. That seemed to be the issue of the day, is the economics of security. I mean, look, I'm from New Orleans, so when people talk about crime and stuff like that, I'm like, it's not that bad, Jackson. I think, but to me, I say, man, y'all overblowing this stuff.
Right.
But to somebody in Jackson who, they never experienced that level before, they're not overblown. People don't say when somebody gets killed in Jackson, which is a tragedy in itself, what 95% of murders are solved within a week?
A week or two?
Yeah, because they're all domestic,
Right.
So it's just, majority of these interactions are personal, domestic. There's, some relationship there. You don't have random acts, in Jackson. I think the thing that really gets on the people's craw is the robberies. That's the random thing that that people can't from, or they can't get a grasp of, because Jackson didn't have that in the past.
Right.
That's one of the things about growing, just as the city grows and different people come influx into the city, that's what you have to do.
But that's what I was talking about from earlier. Like when I was smaller, man, WJ Amai, DJ Finesse and everybody, Fun the Sunday at the Couch Street Boys Club. You had the block parties. I mean, whether it's off of Bailey Avenue at the park over there, whether it was at Grove Park, Battlefield was one of the biggest parks and best parks in the metro area. You had Lake Hyco. You can see people cruising on Sundays. You see the families and kids playing in the yard, barbecuing, and you go to 12 Gold over the North End, or you go to the Dish, and you see people barbecuing, playing basketball. They just play sandlot baseball.
Yeah.
Who does that anymore?
Yeah.
You see people playing kickball. Kids playing kickball, barbecuing. Softball, Saturday, Sunday, Friday night, Thursday, Wednesday. So those are things I wish that people could see that I saw through my eyes, especially with the friends I grew up with. A Jackson that thrived, lived. We had Jubilee Jam.
Yeah.
Major concerts came through here every month. Right. I saw LL Cool J right here in Jackson. Run DMC. DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. NWA. MC Hem. Anita Baker. Luther Vandross,
right.
The Delphonics, the Shylights, all right here in Jackson.
So what do you think has to happen to get it back to them?
Well, that needs to be a, like you said before, a mutual understanding of what's for the greater good of all people, of the citizens of Jackson, and get on one accord and move Jackson forward in a way that is conducive for, again, economic development, and watch this too, reconciliation between its people. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And also, of course, showing up our educational infrastructure, because with the tax base, that's how our schools, you know, get funded.
Yeah.
So I think though the main thing is that we need to get on one accord with the state, the city, and county level.
So I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. So the fight between the state government and the city, how do you address those states when you're fighting the state with, you know, by taking over the water system, taking over security of the city, in certain areas of the city, that is?
Now, how you gotta get out and vote. You gotta get out and vote. You got to find some folks. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, identify as Democrat. Find some folks who truly identify with the idea that all are created equal, and who have a sincere interest in seeing the state in different counties and different cities, especially the capital, move forward and grow.
You know, me, from the time I've been here, what is the historic background of the state just not wanting, you know, it's easy just to say the racism brought this. Jackson is the one of the blackest cities in the nation, and we have one of the whitest legislatures in the nation.
Right.
So that combination, do you think that's the bottom line of why, you know, we don't get the support from the state?
Yes, with also the personal interests and political agendas of these individuals who so-called run the state of Mississippi, who's in the state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about me and mine. As long as me and mine is not affected, it doesn't matter. And that's got to change. It's got to stop.
Right, but, you know, the money flows to Jackson. So,
yeah, but do we got, do we control it, though?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you control the city coffers, but, like, city of Jackson has the largest budget in the state. You know.
Okay, for instance, Jackson Public School was the largest school district in the state of Mississippi for years. Now it's in South Haven,
right?
Or Hernando, or DeSoto County.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're not the biggest. Yeah, now you're looking at the influx of what Madison and how Madison is growing now.
Yeah, it's
before too long. Before too long, they're gonna end up building another high school. Watch, and I guarantee you, outside of Germantown, that's gonna be another high school, because if Ridge don't split, Gluckstadt gonna split.
So, for those who don't know, Gluckstadt is Madison County. It's north of Ridgeland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so make
it's
sure
north of Madison.
North of Madison, sorry, north of Madison. Yeah. So that'd be interesting. When they put another high school out there, you know, people gonna run to it. So it's new. They expect it to be, you know, better. So yeah, instead of investing money in the system that's. Right. So I really didn't realize JPS. I always thought JPS was still the largest school district in the state.
No, because what happened was with the advent, especially when it comes to extracurricular activities, a lot of the private schools in the MAIS, they have lured a lot of children, especially children of color, to their schools, whether it be Jackson Academy, Jackson Prep, even though it's still in Jackson, but it's not Jackson Public Schools. Out here in Rankin County, like Hartfield Academy, you know, you got kids going to St. Andrews, St. Joe, you got kids going to Tri-County Academy, which is above Flora, which is in Flora. You got them going to Clinton, and then, you know, Pearl. Now, we're talking about still public schools now, so there's an issue and a problem with it. So, that's the reason being. You don't even talk about the coast. Because, you know, I've seen their work, and, you know, kudos to them, because they've always been top tier when it comes to education, especially educational engagement. So, you know, with our problems that we have in the city, again, we got to find a way to find some type of mutual ground, a solid ground that we can firmly plant our feet and build again.
Yeah, because that does have a huge effect on your tax base. You know, growing up in New Orleans, you know, our private schools play with the public schools. They're all in the same, you know, same pot, so to speak. You know, they're not segregated. They say, well, here, cause, you know, I know J.A. and Jackson Prep. They were their black enrollment maybe like 10%, 5%, if that
matters. Yeah, but the majority of them are athletes who go to those schools. They're athletes.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you look at what's happening, you know, right around Gluckstadt, we're close to Ken, with Nissan being there, especially with the economic impacts that the governor is pursuing, that 22 corridor is a major manufacturing corridor.
Speaking of the governor, what do you thought about when he said Jackson was the murder capital of the world? He said the world or the country? What did he say? I can't remember what he said.
He said the world.
The world. That's ridiculous. That, no way.
Hey, man. Governor Reeves at best is remedial.
Yeah, that was.
He might have an IEP. You need to review it.
Yeah, that was good.
But he feels like what he says. He says he's saying nothing wrong, even though it was his office said he misspoke. But do you think he really care? He don't.
Well, I mean, people will believe that too. That Jackson, that is, it's no.
And that's my point.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that. Not that at all. It's not. No, not at all.
I mean, right.
That is a misstatement among mistakes.
Well, again, we got to get out and vote. And to all our listeners and subscribers, first of all, we thank you. But get out and vote and vote for some folks who has Mississippi's best interest at heart and watching us grow, move, and live better. Because I don't know about y'all, I'm tired of people talking about my state and my city.
But we constantly doing stuff in this state that make national news, make it look like we back in the woods. So,
and that's what's sad.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And those people don't care. No. It's all about self preservation and ego.
Yeah, that's good. But that's interesting, man. You know, but as we wind down, another All Star weekend here, NBA All Star game. Come on tonight. Get out, you know, enjoy it. You know, enjoy the festivities. My man Matt McCullough won the dunk contest.
No, that's not a big Mac.
First white boy to water, what?
Right.
That's good, man. Congratulations to Matt McCullough winning the dunk contest. The All-Star game this weekend and tonight, 6 p.m. If you free and available, come out and enjoy it. The Queen of the Hill is here, and you know, it's Sunday fun day as we always do here at Churchill. You know, we have a little food on Sundays and cocktails and hang out and have a quick smoke and enjoy the weekend.
Oh, yeah. So, again, everybody, thank you for subscribing. Remember, please share it, like, and subscribe. As always, if you want to come on, let us know. Inbox us, DM us. We'll be more than glad to have you on and have good conversations right here on the Good Buzz Community Podcast at Churchill Smoke Shop. The Queen of the Hill is waiting on you with her fine self. She's fine, y'all.
Blow the head up. Good deal. To everybody else, peace.
Later.